right, everybody. Welcome to 1431 Podcast. Today we have one of our graduates, Matt Simpson, who's also our Work Readiness Program Director. Welcome, Matt.
What's up?
What, you weren't expecting that question? All right, so like I said, Matt has been with us for a while now. I think you're like our longest resident that stuck around other than moving out, but still with us, 4 years now?
Yeah, a little over 3.5.
Yeah. So why don't you start everything off with your testimony, kind of where you were before, and really, you know, with you, it's been meeting Christ and following that.
Right. So it started, I grew up like any other kid. I grew up with a great family. Had both my mom and my dad in my life. Never had to worry about the power getting shut off, and never had to worry about when we were going to eat our next meal. And grew up really actually with both my parents in my life, and just thought that life was awesome. Around 10 years old, my parents let me and my older brother know that they were getting a divorce, and that's really, really when things started getting rough. And growing up in my family, we didn't really disclose any problems that we were having inside the house to anyone else, and that's how I was taught. And so it really got me to just isolating and just bottling my emotions, and with not being able to do that, I suffered. And so later in my teens, it led to me rebelling, started hanging out with friends, sneaking out, drinking, smoking pot, and just doing anything that I could to numb the feeling of just that disappointment or the embarrassment of my family and the divorce that happened to me as a kid. So my drug addiction, it just only progressed throughout my late teens to 20s. I started experimenting with cocaine, then to methamphetamines, and then by the age of 23, I was doing heroin almost daily. With drugs and alcohol, it's not a matter of when, but it's, or not a matter of if, but it's when you get caught up. And so I started facing legal issues. I got 3 DUIs by the age of 24. I got in trouble for manufacturing, delivery, of a controlled substance, marijuana, and, the list just goes on. And so I got the opportunity to be able to go through drug court, to be able to get the felonies dismissed. I was able to do that after going to a secular inpatient treatment facility. And then also throughout the rest of my 20s, I'd probably been through 2, 3, 4 other outpatient inpatients, and just continued just getting in trouble, but always knowing what I needed to do to be able to get off probation to continue my use. One thing that always stuck out was that I was identified as an addict, and I had a disease that I was always going to have for the rest of my life. And so just in the back of my mind, I always thought that this was going to have to be a battle that I was going to have to face for the rest of my life. And it affected my home life with my family. I burned almost every bridge that I had, not only with my family, but with my friends. And it led to homelessness in my 30s. And so in 2021, or 2020, I moved to Oklahoma. Thought that moving to Oklahoma from the Northwest, from Oregon, that I could get a fresh start and pick my life back up and kind of just rebuild everything that was lost. And so I did well for 4 months. However, I got bored, and when drug addicts want to seek or find what they want. It's not, it doesn't matter if you're in your hometown or if you're six states away, you're going to be able to find people like that. And so I started using once again. I was back on the streets, homeless or couch surfing from house to house. And still just fighting that battle. I had conversations with my dad, and he was living in Chickasha at the time, and he had told me of a program called Life Skills Institute. It was a faith-based institute or faith-based program. And so I came and tried it for 3 days. And still, I guess just still wasn't over what I needed to be over, and so I ended up leaving. I left for about another 9 months, and that's really when I hit rock bottom and reached back out to my dad. My dad came and picked me up, and he brought me back to Chickasha. When I came to Chickasha the second time to Life Skills Institute, I was really ready for a change. And so I checked in. I got right onto the work program. And 2 weeks later, Life Skills Institute, they shared the gospel with me. And they shared that I didn't have to identify as an addict ever again. Like, through Jesus Christ, I could have victory over my addiction. And so it was easy. It was easy to recognize that I was a sinner. Just looking back on my life and all the terrible things that I had did. But hearing that Christ came here to save sinners, that all we had to do was put our faith in him and believe that he came to earth, lived a sinless life, and died and rose again. And so I put my faith in Christ, and life has not been better, really. I went through the work readiness program. I graduated, had the opportunity to be able to work full time and get a position leading the work program here for LSI, and continue to do the rest of my programming. And so going through that, there was a little bit of a struggle at first, going from being just a peer to a boss. And so, but like Zach told me, just get through these first round of guys, and then no one's gonna look at you any different. And so, I ended up graduating the program that year. I ended up meeting at the time my beautiful wife.
At the time, she was your beautiful wife?
Yeah.
At the time?
Yeah. Well,
at the time, the girl that you thought was way out of your league and never had a chance.
Yeah, yeah. So, but, you know, it was getting connected to the local church. And so that was a huge part of growing and strengthening my relationship with Christ. Was LSI really pushed on joining the local church and seeing what the local church has to offer. And so I did that. I ended up having my wife, she caught my eye, and I just loved the fact of her faithfulness and how much she served in the church. And then I finally found out she was the secretary of the church. So, but no, it was good. We dated for a year, courted. I got counsel from my pastor, from Zach, some of my other church family, and a year later, we ended up getting married, and so life is good. Life is good right now.
Good. Let's talk about that for just a second. I'm going to throw you off a little bit. Like the expertise that I had at making them to a couple was an incredible task that I should get an award for at some point in my life. But hey, I guess, you know, I was the best man at his wedding, so I guess that was my award. But no, it's an exciting thing. So going through that, you've been probably through every aspect of programming that we offer, plus being able to see from the outside now looking in, what are the most important things and components of LSI to you?
So first and foremost is safety. Living out on the streets, you had to be on guard. And so when I came to LSI Resurrection House, I felt safe that I could lay my head down and be able to rest and be able to get the rest that I needed to be able to move, to keep on moving forward. Also, like I mentioned in my testimony, I'd never been to a program that shared the gospel with me. And so, you know, it's not, we know now that, like, it's not the program that saves, it's Jesus Christ. And we know that if we lead people to Christ, you know, he does the saving. And so that was probably the biggest thing, you know, is that I had never been shared the gospel. I never knew who Jesus Christ was, and I didn't know that I could have victory over my addiction. And so also another couple components is the structure that was here. It was strict, and but it's for a purpose. We're used to being able to do whatever we want, and obviously what we wanted to do wasn't getting us anywhere. And so it's a structure that holds us accountable to be able to keep on doing what's right.
Hey, this is Bill Flores. I'm the vice president for Earthly Dwellings. It's a nonprofit that has been birthed here in Chickasha, earthlydwellings.org. We're here as another avenue for people to level up who are ready for supportive housing, that they have income, they're working, they're doing the right thing, they've overcome obstacles, individuals, families, men with children, women with children, doesn't matter. We'll go through stipulations, make sure you're ready and able to meet those requirements and level up with a wow factor place to live that's safe and healthy. So earthlydwellings.org. See you on the line. And if you want to donate, you can go on there as well. You can donate $21 a month in memory of my daughter, Diana, to help people or any denomination. We'll send out a newsletter. Hey, thank you and have a blessed day.
So how do you feel about the work program? You've gone through it. Obviously, it was kind of different with you being able to get a job here as the director of the work program, but it kind of gives you the insight as being the leader of it. What do you think the most beneficial things of the work readiness program are?
Okay, so for the first thing is that I didn't trust myself getting a job out in the world, going to work anywhere. I knew there was always that possibility of being around someone that was hungover or high in their addiction. And so the thing was, is that I knew I was going to be around like-minded people that were trying to build their foundation and be able to be employable. I needed to be able to work on working well with others too. That's huge. You go to work anywhere, you're going to be working with other people. So you need to be able to work well with others. And also, one of the main things also, I hadn't fully... So I would commit to tons of things in the past. And I would never fulfill those commitments. And so one of the big things was is that this was going to be the start of making a commitment and being able to fulfill it. And also, we get so wrapped up in needing and thinking that we need money to be able to sustain ourselves. And it really allowed me to be able to build my foundation, get closer to Christ, and realize that if we're in God's will, he'll take care of us. And so there's not a price that you could put on that.
Something that I think a lot of people get wrong or maybe a not clear understanding of, is that these guys, they don't get paid, but they get taken care of. So can you expound on that? Like, I mean, to make them feel a little more, like if somebody ever's listening to this, maybe make them feel a little more comfortable about sending somebody to us where they know they're going to spend 6 months without any pay, but we also make sure they're taken care of.
Yeah. So like, first off, the program fees are paid for. Also, if the individual is needing clothing or boots or any other type of clothing, we take care of their needs in that aspect. We help out with pharmacy bills. A lot of times people will come in and they need prescriptions, yet their Sooner Care or their insurance doesn't cover it. So we will take on that. We will take that on, and we will pay for that. We've paid for people getting prescription lenses. We've helped out with dentist bills. And then also, we've also helped out on supervision fees. So if people are coming in and they are on probation and they have supervision fees, we will contact the court's clerk or the judge, and we can get either fines put on hold or we will help them make their monthly payment while they're in the program. Also, we've built some relationships within the community with different businesses, and they're also given a reference. And so it's just like any other job resume. They put us on there. The employers can contact us, and then we can refer them out into the community.
Okay. So kind of getting back into the personal things, what were your family and friends like when you were in the program? Did they support you? Did they discourage you?
Okay, so my family is really worldly. Like I said, I was not raised in church, but they did have a high moral standard. You know, I was taught right from wrong, and so my family, they supported me and encouraged me to always do, I guess from the world standpoint, what's right. And so that was not to do drugs and alcohol, not to steal, not to lie, not to cheat. And so they were always supportive of me when I wanted to make a change. However, there was always distance if I was stuck in my addiction. And so the friends, I don't have any of the friends that I had back in my addiction. I think, like other people you've talked to, they're more acquaintances. You know, they aren't friends. It's all about, you know, you rub my back, I'll rub yours, and so I've broke ties. My friendships is a lot of people that I'm involved with at church, here at LSI Resurrection House, and just some of the customers that I've been working for. You know, and so.
That's good. Okay, so everybody knows somebody who's needing some help, needing something in life that can really teach them something, help them get through life a little bit easier. Maybe just a partner that can tell them whenever they need to know something they're struggling with or something. Well, there's a place in Chickasha, Oklahoma called Life Skills Institute, and this is that place. You know, it is a fee-based program, but it's sober environment, it's faith-based, teaches people how to manage their money, teaches them how to make wise choices. There's different things that it can apply to, different people it can apply to, but it has been a tremendous program. And you know, everybody's got some obstacles that they've got to overcome. So this program could really help with that. Now, it is a nonprofit program. So if you're not one of those people who's needing help, but maybe you're wanting to look for a good program to invest your money in and donate to, this would be a great program to think about. If you're considering making a donation, you can go to www.lsireshouse.org. That is lsireshouse.org. Or you can send a check
to P.O. Box 398, Chickasha, Oklahoma 73023. And you can just put Life Skills Institute on the check. Thank you.
You said your family was worldly, and you know, whenever you say that, but yet you also mentioned things that are in the Bible that they were, you know, teaching you that that was right and wrong. So do you think that, I guess it's more of an observation. Whenever somebody says something like that, it makes me realize that you can know what right and wrong is, but it's that foundation of why it's right and wrong is where things get screwed up, I think, along the way, you know, where that foundation is built on sand, right? Mm-hmm. You know, so even if you're doing right, that's agreement with the Bible, if it's not for the reason of obedience to Christ, then there's still a position of failure there. And so it's just an interesting thought that just kind of popped in my mind.
Yeah. So like the one thing though that, you know, I was never taught of is why I don't steal, why I don't cheat, why I don't lie, why I don't do. And they never gave me a reason. They just told me I didn't, that's not what you do. And so I never learned about it, as sin, you know, growing up, it was just what you don't do. And so, it definitely, I feel like my testimony is encouraged and has shown my parents. I believe my mom is saved. My dad, though, I don't believe is. But he knows my life and he knows my story. And he knows that it had to have been something greater than just me deciding to stop. Mm-hmm. And he sees me going to church and he sees me worshiping Christ and he knows my relationship. And if he can't see that it was Christ that changed my life, then it's sad and it hurts, you know?
Yeah. And you also have a brother, right? That's a Christian, a believer.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it is around him, definitely.
Yeah.
So, I refuse to say LSI is a rehab or treatment center. Always refuse that. But I also don't know, it's hard to identify exactly what it is because there are many people like Matt who've come here to get sober, who've come here to use the accountability. So, Matt, what would you kind of identify LSI as?
So, it definitely isn't a rehab. Because we just aren't fit for that. However, what I think LSI is the bridge between kind of the bridge between being lost and Jesus Christ. It's sharing the gospel, you know. Mm-hmm. It's definitely faith based and everything that is. That is done here is pointing you to Christ. And so, unfortunately, there's people that we minister to that don't receive. But that's kind of, I guess our mission is just to be able to share the gospel and then it's their part and God's part to do the rest, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, you're exactly right. And we've had people graduate that weren't believers by the end of the program. And so we've just had to learn that that's not our spot to choose who gets to believe and not to believe, but do our part as and I mean, anybody who comes here, they're going to know that everything that comes from our lips is going to be based on the Bible and from and from Christ and pointing them to Christ. So it's kind of hard to believe that there's not many. Most of them are believers, but one or two that they've gotten all of these foundational principles, but they still haven't made that actual connection that it's Jesus Christ that saves them. So, all right. So, what was your worst day that you look back on and say that this is the time that influenced me to get help?
So
can I share my worst day for you? Like, there was a day that you were sharing your testimony, and I can edit this out if you want me using it. But it was, you were talking about walking across the street and falling asleep.
Yeah.
And like to you, it was funny. And I was still like, even that, like, I'm like, I couldn't imagine it. But like that week, I went up to Oklahoma City and I was driving and I saw a guy on the side of the road that was to the T of how you described.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that is crazy. Like, never, ever imagine that drugs do that to people. But
so at that moment wouldn't have been the worst time of my, the worst time that got me influenced to get help, because unfortunately I was loaded at that time. Mm-hmm. And so I was probably feeling pretty good, but it wasn't the only time that I fell asleep walking through a street, unfortunately. But really it was April 6th, 2022. I was homeless. It was right before I came here. I just felt empty inside. I had nowhere to sleep. I was hungry. Had nothing to eat. No money. And I knew that there was more to life than what I was living. And I walked to the casino and I had Wi-Fi. I called my dad crying and literally begged him to come and get me, and said I'd do whatever it took. And so at that...
How many times have you said that before?
Oh, I've said that 20, 30, yeah, 40 times. Mm-hmm. And so... what I was really hoping was that once my dad got me, that he wouldn't stick to his guns, that he would bring me the Chickasha, that he would allow me to come back and live with him, where I can just do what I wanted, just kind of stay out of sight, out of mind, and he wouldn't really bother me, you know? But no, he stuck to his guns, and it must have been probably the hardest thing that he ever had to do. But it was probably what helped save my life, you know? Mm-hmm. And so it was the time right before I came to LSI. I had other rock bottoms, but the ones that influenced me to get help this last time, is probably the most influential, because it stuck, you know, it brought me here, you know? Yeah.
So what do you mean by dad sticking to his guns? How did that look in this instance?
Okay.
I mean, so what would he usually do?
So my dad, he was an enabler. And the thing was, is that he would not necessarily give me money to be able to support my action, but to support my addiction, but he would make it easy for me to be able to, he would put a roof over my head. He would feed me. He would allow me to come and take showers at his house, or stay with him. And so sticking to his guns was that I was no longer allowed to be at his house. Like, me and his girlfriend had gotten into a pretty big argument a couple months, 8 months prior. And at that time, I was no longer to be able to go to his house. And so actually, when I got brought here, we would have lunch maybe once every 2 weeks or so for the first 2 months. And then it started picking up the third month. We would go out to lunch maybe once a week. And then about 3.5 months after being here, he called me up and he asked me if I wanted to have dinner. And I said, yeah, love to have dinner. You know, I said, where are we going? And he says, well, I've talked to Terry, and that's his girlfriend, and we decided to have you come out for dinner at the house. And it about made me break down, because it was like I was finally earning some trust back, you know? And so I was God was restoring that broken relationship in my life. And my dad was, he's been always the closest person to me in my life, out of my brothers, my mom, my grandparents, everything like that. And so, but it's really what helped me is that he was done. He didn't want to enable me anymore. He wasn't going to just give me a free ride. He was going to put his foot down, and he was going to, if I wanted it, he would be there to encourage and help me. But if I wasn't, then I was going to have to suffer the consequences. Yeah. So,
okay. All right. So, I mean, you kind of shared a little bit earlier, but how's things going now?
So life is great. You know, we get to share and share the privilege of being able to teach third and fourth grade boys in our church, to be able to share the gospel. A lot of these kids come from broken relationships or broken homes, I would say, divorced parents that I came from. And to be able to encourage them and be able to pour into them is just, it's huge. Also, I got married, like I said, back in July. And it's been going really well. We just found out about a month ago that we're pregnant, she's pregnant, and so things are going good. We're excited. We're ready to find out the sex of the baby. We're ready just to be able to start a family, and so. I never imagined life being like this and having purpose in life and being able to start a family and God's good, you know? Yeah. God's real good.
All right, brother. Look at that. 29 minutes and 30 seconds. So
it's a wrap.
Yeah, I appreciate it, brother. And love you, dude.
Love you too, man.